Hi, you're listening to Zentertainment Talk Radio on the web at www.zentertainment.org. My name is Joe Davidson. I'm really glad that you're here because I have a very powerful show for you today. A book came across my desk, and I didn't agree with everything in it, but I loved enough of it that I knew I needed to share it with you. Stephen Ray Ozenich has been through his own dark night of the soul. It lasted decades, so he's here to share his story today. Back in the 70s, Dr. John Sarno at the NYU School of Medicine discovered that chronic pain was not coming from things seen on imaging, like herniated discs, arthritis, stenosis, scoliosis. And you know, how many times do we hear someone say, or maybe, you know, I said it a long time ago once, you know, you think a herniated disc is causing pain. He says no. He discovered that pain was coming from oxygen reduction through the autonomic nervous system due to elevated tension levels. Now, most doctors totally refused to believe those findings, even though Sarno's success rate in healing the most severe pain cases was well above theirs. Dr. Sarno labeled this disorder TMS, or tension myoneural syndrome, which is currently being called the mind-body syndrome. So today we're discussing the book, The Great Pain Deception, Faulty Medical Advice is Making Us Worse, with the author Stephen Ray Ozenich. If you are somebody going through chronic pain, obviously go see your doctor, rule out other conditions. All right, well, Stephen, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
So let's talk about this TMS, or the mind-body syndrome. My understanding is that this is just a way of basically saying that chronic pain comes from a reduction in oxygen flow to muscles and nerves due to unconscious tension.
That's correct, you know, but the body gets blamed all the time for it. But it's really an oxygen flow problem through the autonomic nervous system, which is why everything, the back pain epidemic is taking off. You know, we have the most advanced technical equipment in the history of humankind. And yet, hand pain, foot pain, knee, shoulder, it's all getting worse.
So in your book, and also Dr. Sarno's book, you both talk about repressed anger and rage and how that can create body symptoms as a distraction. Could it also be other emotions, loneliness, lack of purpose, or fear?
You nailed it right there. Yeah, I mean, you know, it can come down to two things. It's either a good feeling or a bad feeling, I suppose, at some point. But rage is one of them. It's probably the overriding one. It's kind of a catch-all phrase. But fear is the initiator of it. And the anger and rage are the social reactions and responses to the fear. But there's a lot of sorrow, too. A lot of people that contact me in chronic pain, they've had a loved one die. And Dr. Sarno had a lot of great success towards the end of his career, his long 50-year career, when the people would come in chronic pain and had a spouse die. And when he got them in the psychoanalysis, and they would discover that they were actually angry at that person for leaving them.
You wrote that it's a deception by the brain to avoid facing the thoughts or feelings. So it's really like an avoidance mechanism, a distractionary technique. Tell us more about what you went through.
That's a big question. Yes, I was in back pain for 30 years. It started when I was 14 years old. And I tried everything. I mean, you name it, you know, injections and acupuncture and chiropractic thousands of times. And it really never went away until I got so bad that I could not walk in the late 1990s. I lost over 50 pounds. And I was very close to surgery, and somebody introduced me to Dr. Sarno's work in TMS, and it saved my life. And my wife was paralyzed when we delivered our first son. And, of course, there's rage there. But the thing is about this is it's unconscious. That's what people don't get. They'll say, well, I don't feel angry. I don't feel afraid. Well, that's right. You don't. Your body is telling you this. TMS is now standing for the mind-body syndrome because he realized it affects the immune system, you know, and the skin, the gastroenterological system, you name it. Anything the brain controls, it can use to divert your attention to your body and away from those powerful thoughts and emotions.
What were some of the things that showed up in MRIs and x-rays for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, the normal things, you know, severe herniations, L3, L4, L5, S1. the disc gold standards. Almost everybody has those things herniated. Severe stenosis, degeneration, which is water loss, scoliosis, which is crookedness. And of course, they're telling me, you know, you have an unstable spine. None of that was true. The very telling of people those things is the thing that is causing the chronicity. You know, because the brain latches onto that and begins to protect it, and it begins to withdraw the blood even harder. And so that's the subtitle of the book, Faulty Medical Advice is Making Us Worse. But there's a lot of other reasons for the title to be named that. But I had all the normal things that people have. But I would like to say, you know, I've written a new one on specifically back pain only. Mm-hmm. And I got more into the details of what you just asked about the imaging. Mm-hmm. There was a recent study, a pretty cool one. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, Brinjici, I think maybe. Mm-hmm. It's called Systematic Literature Review of Imaging Features of Spinal Degeneration in Asymptomatic Populations. And they went and studied the studies, you know, pretty much meta-analysis. And there's about 36 studies that show that herniated discs do not cause back pain. And they looked at those and examined them and put out their own conclusion that they don't. And there's not one single study in the medical literature that says that, that proves that herniated discs do cause back pain. Yet people latch on to the notion that they do. And it's, of course, there's many reasons for that. You know, the doctor tells them that. And we want to believe in our doctors. We almost have to, right? Because they're our last line of defense between death. You know, we want to believe what they're saying is true, but there's no proof of it at all. And I would say the proof that they don't is that millions of people have healed. You know, his books are in 16 languages now. Mm-hmm. I consult with people in about 17 countries now. Mm-hmm. All the doctors that he trained, and my book's been out for 3 years. These people heal, even though they're told that these back problems on the imaging are causing the problems. But they're not. And there's no way that they could heal if they were causing the problem.
Sciatica, is that always TMS?
Well, you know, yeah, that's a good point, too. Very good point. You know, we always have to be cautious, right? You know, not everything is. Almost everything, I would say. But, I mean, you can have a tumor there, which isn't TMS. You can have an infection. You can have an aneurysm. I've seen that. You know, somebody had a small pool of blood in their spine that was causing pain. And so we have to be very careful here. People have to get checked out. They have to get MRIs. I hate to say it, but you really have to do it to protect your life first and your health. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. But I would say this. That's another good question. I've asked the TMS physicians that trained with him. I work closely with several of them. Yeah. I said, have you ever seen sciatica not TMS? And they said, nope, not yet.
Thomas Hamblin, in his book, The Power of Thought, wrote that everyone is a victim of suggestion through their senses in thousands of ways every day. That's really true. You know, as a society, a lot of the things we believe, what we attach to a diagnosis, really anything, we have collective beliefs about things, and we're all influenced by the people around us. Not only that, but we have this bombardment of pharmaceutical commercials on TV, and that influences everybody.
Just watch a half hour's worth of commercials, and you'll have everything. Right. You know, and they tell you, at the very first hint of anything, run to your doctor right away. But then, you know, it's a business. It's a business. But they've got you, because if you don't and there's something serious there, you're frightened to death. But that's the interesting thing you mentioned, because in the new book, I talk about the new neck study that came out. And they put these people in these two cars, and they gave them a virtual crash. In other words, like Steven Spielberg, you know, around them. The car never moved, and their necks never moved. 20% of the people had neck pain after the study, who had no neck pain before, and in the long run, 10% still had it. And the cool part was, which reinforces Dr. Sarno's work, it was those people where the pain became chronic that had the family stresses and the family problems. And so it comes back to that great discovery of his that the brain is diverting your mind's eye to your body to avoid certain unwanted things. And those are the things you mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, the anger, the fears, the loneliness, and things like that. But once again, people don't feel it. Mm-hmm. That's why they have the pain. If they felt it, they wouldn't have pain. And so the very last piece of the healing puzzle for me was when I saw Dr. Sarno in a lecture, and he said, any anger that you feel has nothing to do with your pain. It's the anger you cannot feel that causes these body symptoms. And that was it for me. That was the final piece, and I healed.
So if it's out of awareness and if it's unconscious, this is the great question. How do you really get in touch with that?
He found it utterly fruitless to try to make the unconscious conscious. It was better to get to the thinking process that creates the fears and the angers and things like that. We don't have to resolve it. You know, and I talk in my book, the first book, The Great Pain Deception, about psychoarchaeology. You can go the rest of your life talking to therapists, and they can keep digging into all these emotional wounds, and they can make you cry over and over and over year after year. But what good does that do? What good does that do? You know, you don't have to resolve anything. You just have to understand what's going on. And so you can go to the best psychotherapist in the world, and it won't take the pain away. You have to understand what's happening psychologically and physically together, this TMS thing, why the brain is diverting your attention to like your knee or your neck or your back or your digestive system. Why is it doing this? You know, it's trying to help you. It's trying to help you cope through the day. You know, we have to live with other people. We can't always express everything we want to say all the time. And a lot of that stuff we're not even aware of because of repression is the elephant in the room here. We don't even know it's happening because the ego screens everything that we see every day. And if it doesn't like something, it just lets it pass into the body. It doesn't deal with it. We're not even aware of it. It's very covert, very covert. But it's doing that because people have to get along. You know, we don't kill each other. We don't go out and kill each other every time we get mad. Sometimes we just smile. You know, we've created it to help us cope so that we can get along with other people. You know, and it's not blaming victims because nobody knows it's even happening. It's all unconscious. But it is so cool. I'm telling you, it's working. It is working so cool all around the world. And as soon as people heal, they'll say, how come no one knows about this? It's how you react. You know, why do things make us angry? Why are we perfectionists? Why are we afraid of this and that? Why do we feel lonely? That's the thing you need to get to, is why do we react the way we do? And our health problems are almost always a byproduct of our personalities, not our bodies. Mm-hmm. Not our bodies. The body's just a frame. You know, like Dr. Sarno used to say, you know, the modern day doctor treats the body like a car mechanic. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in with a hip pain, put you up on the rack, let's stick it, jab it, medicate it, cut into it, do whatever we can. They never sit down and say, hey, what's going on in your life? I was in a local restaurant last year, and a guy came hobbling over to me, limping. He said, I heard you wrote a book on pain. I said, yeah, when's your divorce? And he looked at me shocked. He goes, how the hell could you have known I was getting a divorce? I said, well, you know, it's America. It's about a 50-50 shot anyway, right? But he said, I am going through a divorce. And I said, well, I just took a stab because that's one of the more common ones. You know, it's always some type of a relationship thing. Whether somebody's died or whether the kids are fighting or the spouses are fighting, you know, because it comes back to that broken relationship causes the most rage, loneliness. It comes down to that. We do not like to be separated.
Author Joe Dispenza has several books out, and he says that 90% of the thoughts we think today are exactly the same ones we had the day before. So as a result of this conscious or unconscious process, your biology stays the same.
Right, and you get in, you're touching a line there, you know, about the most powerful healing phenomenon all of mankind, and that's the placebo. I mentioned them in my new book. It started back in the 1950s with something called mammary ligation. It was kind of like the precursor to heart bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. These doctors, you know, were very high on themselves. They created this thing. They would cut into the chest and do something called ligation. And these people were healing, and they wondered to themselves, are we doing anything? So they set up a double-blind study in two different cities, and they split them in half, and they did the ligation on one group, and they cut into the chest on the other group and didn't do anything. Well, the one that they didn't do anything on, they healed at a much higher rate, 83% to, I think, like 60% or something. Wow. And so I talk about that. The new one is the vertebroplasty. I don't know if you've read about it. Mm-mm. It's a type of cement that the people at the Mayo Clinic invented to inject into crack vertebrae in the spine. And they'd done over 1 million of them. And they were, of course, very high on themselves because they feel very good if they feel that they can outsmart Mother Nature, you know, when it comes to healing. But they noted that when they were injected into the wrong disc a couple of times, the people healed just as fast. So they set up a double-blind trial and came out the same. Whether they did the thing or they gave them the sham, the people healed within days. The people thought that they got the procedure. And it goes on and on, and all the new placebo trials are proving that they really aren't doing anything to the body other than what the person believes. The belief is so important. And so with Dr. Sarno and TMS, it's the belief that your body's okay, no matter what the imaging showed. See that big disc right there bulging and see the pain that seems to be coming from that? It's not causing it. If you believe that it is, it continues to do that. If you can break that nexus and go, all right, my brain's using my body changes and things like that. Sometimes the disc is on the left, though, and the pain's on the right, but the physician will still do it. But the placebo is so powerful. I mentioned several in the first book, but I got into it more in this new one, and it's amazing what the body will do. And it can actually kill you. The brain can kill you if you think you're going to die, too. So a physician's words are very important.
I saw a study today about fibromyalgia that showed people were getting a lot of benefit from hyperbaric oxygen treatment. I thought that was interesting because after reading your book and Sarno's books, you say that chronic pain comes from a reduction in oxygen flow to muscles and nerves due to unconscious tension. Now, of course, other factors could be contributing, like infections. In your book, The Great Pain Deception, you shared in detail about your story, so I recommend to all of you listening that you get the book and check that out. But you know about pain. I mean, you had decades of it. So, and if I remember right, you were even paralyzed a little bit.
Yeah, my left leg was paralyzed for 9 months. By accommodating it, where you put pillows under your knees and pillows all around your neck, you're actually telling your body that it's weak and fragile and that it needs help. And so you have to get rid of all of those aids and things like that. But fibro, boy, that's a big, heated, controversial one, too. The guy that wrote the diagnostic guidelines for that, his name was Fred Wolf. I think it was in 1990 or 1991. Mm-hmm. He called it a disease. And bam, millions of people were just becoming crippled by it. Now, I think it was 2014 maybe, I saw an article by him in the New York Times. He said, basically, my bad, it is not a disease, he said. We certainly harmed more people than we helped there. And I have maybe a dozen or so per year contact me, and they heal. But they have to believe that their body's okay and that they're reacting to unconscious processes. If they believe that the body is broken, it will stay. It's that simple. The belief changes everything.
I wondered how TMS helps, this theory helps people who have allergies, this overreaction to environmental things, pollens, foods. We're seeing an explosion of food allergies. You know, many kids can't eat nuts, peanuts, gluten. I think some of it actually has to do with the chemicals that are sprayed on things and the way food is processed and made these days, because it's not natural unless you're getting organic food. That's my belief, and some of the things I've studied seem to point to that. But anyway, from just a purely emotional perspective, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about allergies.
That's a good point. There are a lot of people who will lose their lifetime of allergies once they heal from their chronic pain, because it's a similar process. It's a very similar process, which he called equivalence, TMS equivalence. Mm-hmm. And sleeplessness is another one, and there's phobias. And in the case of the allergies, the immune system is overreacting to the sensation of this pollen. These pollens, but it can also be food allergies too. People have contacted me, they've lost their food allergies after they've healed from their chronic pain. And I think it's still that same thing, you know, it is the understanding of why the body's reacting, or overreacting, I should say. And it's also overreacting to the sensation of pain, as in most all chronic pain and in fibromyalgia. And the question is why? Why? Well, it's trying to help you. It's trying to help you. But they do lose their allergies. The one lady I mentioned in the Great Pain Deception, she had allergies for 40 years. And she found Dr. Sarno's book, The Mind-Body Prescription, not mine at first, and she healed from her pain. She was in a wheelchair. She sent me a picture of it, and she even had pain in her eye socket. She couldn't even look left or right. And when she healed, when she read Sarno's book, she said, you know what, this sounds like me. She healed. Her allergies disappeared.
For some people, maybe just having the awareness of the process of what's happening is enough. Other people need to take more steps to actually heal once they are aware of this information. So do you have any advice?
There's a loaded question. A very good one, too. You know, there's like no one way. That's what makes it so complex. Mm-hmm. How we hide shame and fear and loneliness and all those things is very difficult. Very difficult. Some people, like you just mentioned, they'll read the book and heal. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that drives everybody else crazy. And it makes them feel like they've failed. And it makes them worse in a way because they feel like, why? I read it and I understand it. It's not working. Doesn't work that way. It's not that straightforward. The brain is very complex. And so I found out personally, from my experience and from dealing with thousands of people, that the slow healing's the better healing. You know, they're reversing their old thinking. They're getting their lives in order. They're becoming more balanced. They're expressing themselves more, like you mentioned a little bit ago, with artwork, things like that. People underestimate this. So to answer your question about healing, what are the steps they take? There are general things, you know. First of all, get an exam. You've got to do that to play it safe. You've got to do that. And then when you see it's these normal aging things, then you've got to just cast that away and get rid of your doctor's diagnosis and get into your life. You know, why do I overreact? Why do I need this and that? And are you expressing yourself enough? Because it really is somaticization, you know. It's the body is expressing itself through the body because the people never learned how to do it verbally. As children, you know, a lot of them were taught that anger was bad and they shouldn't express it. And as Dr. Sarno used to use the phrase, you know, children should be seen and not heard. He used to hear that a lot in his office from these kids growing up. I mean, I suppose that was a common phrase when he was little, like in 1930 or something. But they need to learn how to express themselves more. And that comes through not only talking to people, you know, and explaining how you feel, which really, really is a powerful healing force. You get up and the nerve to go talk to somebody, sometimes the pain will disappear because you're holding a grudge or a grievance or whatever. But sometimes, you know, they do it through arts. Painters, musicians, dancers, you name it. That's how they learn to express themselves as children. When they never really learned how. No one sits kids down and tells them how to express themselves when they're scared to death. You know, they may hug them, which is always good. But they learn. Great musicians, and I deal with some of my heroes now. And I talk to, I idolized as a child. I'm consulting with them and Oscar winners, movie Oscar winners. These people all became great people because of that conflict.
In your book, you wrote that people need to rule out infections, but many people dealing with things, even some of the things we've talked about today, are dealing with infections as well. So how can they apply some of the principles of this book?
Right. That would be an equivalent also to pain. I've had several people contact me that they healed from lifetimes of infections with my book. If the body is chronically infected, something's blocking healing. It's that simple. What is it? Something's going on unconscious. The body in a natural whole state should not be sick. It should not be in pain. So if the body is infected or is in pain, something's wrong there. And the unconscious, once again, you know, it's not something you can grasp. It's unconscious, which means you're unaware of it. You have no idea that it's happening. The great Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung said, you know, there is another within us whom we do not know. And whenever he could get to that, the people healed from their pain, too. And that's basically Dr. Sarno's work, is getting to that unconscious side and understanding that it exists. It's influencing your health. And once, if you accept it, you begin to heal. But we live in a society that believes in engineering the body from the outside. You know, it's all about stabbing, cutting, poking, medicating, and that is making it worse. It's making it worse because that's exactly what your brain wants. It's hoping that you're obsessing on the body. And, man, our society does obsess on the body. We know that. We know that. We need to get to the person. You know, and, you know, Dr. Andrew Weil, he calls it integrative medicine. And, you know, it's about dealing with the person's life, what's going on in the life of the person. And as soon as people contact me, I say, what's happening? And, you know, it's always some type of relationship thing.
When you recognize that things are coming up, then what do you do with that?
First thing is to start gathering all the information on what's happening. You know, read Dr. Sarno's books or my book too. Understand what's going on first. You have to know, oh, this is why this thing is looping. My pain is looping. You know, and there's another thing, the conditioning process. which is the most problematic thing that I see. You know, Pavlov's dog, right? Ring the bell, salivate. The people, they living their lives the same every day. You know, get up on the same time, get on the same side of bed, drive the same way to work. And their body keeps looping these same neurotransmitters over, over and over. And the conditioning process is powerful. As far as the psychological process, just knowing what's going on is usually sufficient enough. But, of course, there are always exceptions to everything that we're talking about, everything. There are some kids that were just beaten as children. But just understanding what's going on is big. But if it's really severe, really debilitating, it's time to talk to a good therapist.
A lot of people go to therapists, and it can be really helpful at times. On the other hand, sometimes you can go to therapists for an extended time and not really notice any shifts. And especially I've heard this a lot of times, people going through illnesses, it's helpful emotionally, but it doesn't actually relieve physical symptoms or shift the illness.
You know, it didn't help me either, and journaling didn't help me, but journaling works great in so many other people. I still recommend it. Mm-hmm. I've had people sit down, write about things, and they say, Steve, it disappeared that night. You know, 7 years of pain.
What did you need?
Awareness. I've had TMS my whole life, and most people can look back and say, yeah, started in childhood. Most of the people that went to see Dr. Sarno, of course, they just became aware of what was going on and then took steps in their lives. You can't tell someone how to forgive somebody. People consult with me all the time to say, how do I stop being angry at that person, or how do I forgive my wife or husband? That's not something one person can teach another person. I can't teach you how to forgive somebody. That comes from within you. You have to transform yourself. And so sometimes this can get complicated. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but sometimes it's simple, which is really mind-blowing. I had a therapist in California call me and say, or he emailed me and said, I just thought you'd like to know, a patient of ours read your chapter 25 last night and healed and hadn't been able to do anything. And I said, what was it in the book? Can you tell me what it was? You know, he said something about, it was a chapter on anger, and where I said that people are going around angry, they don't even know it sometimes. You know, they don't even know it, but the symptoms telling that was enough for her. Boom. A lot of people hope for that. Well, I'll just read this one thing or read this book and it'll be gone. That's rare. The most important thing you can do as far as chronic pain is to become more physical. You know, don't rest it because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Go out and become physical. And what that does is it trains your brain to react differently to movement. It's not right. Going to get worse. It may temporarily spike, which happens sometimes and scares people to death. But in the long run, you will not get worse. And after a while, you'll say, it starts sinking in. My body's okay. Yeah. It's really okay. Now, what Dr. Sarno discovered is like 40 years ago, and he called it thinking psychologically, something about the awareness of what was going on. Like, my body's actually fine. The imaging doesn't mean anything. I'm reacting to things that I'm not aware of. That is this learning. The brain's relearning.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell everyone listening about a story that had a pretty profound effect on me. It's something that I read in a New York Times article, actually a few years ago. It was an article by Dan Buettner. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but it's Buettner. It was October 24th, 2012, and if you want to look it up, the article was called The Island Where People Forgot to Die. So the story was about a man named Moraitis, and he had lung cancer, end stage, and he was given about 9 months to live. He lived in Port Jefferson, New York. He considered staying in America and getting, you know, some aggressive treatment at a local hospital where he could be close to his wife and his three adult children. But instead, he decided to return to the island of Ikaria, Greece, to live in his hometown where he'd grown up. And he decided he wanted to be buried there with his ancestors. From a practical standpoint, he thought it would also save on funeral costs because in the U.S., as we know, it costs thousands of dollars, where in Ikaria, it would only be $200. So he left the United States with his wife, and they moved in with his elderly parents. At first, he was very, very weak. His mom helped him and his wife helped him, and then he reconnected with his faith and he went to a tiny chapel where his grandfather had once been a priest. Then childhood friends heard he was back and they started coming around every afternoon and they would talk for hours. He planted some vegetables in a garden. He didn't expect to harvest them, but he liked being out in the sunshine and breathing the ocean air. Time went by and he started getting stronger. He woke up when he felt like it. He worked in the vineyards. He took a nap. He met with friends in the evenings. his health continued to improve. He added some rooms to his parents' home so that his children could visit from the United States. He built up the vineyard there, and 3.5 decades later, at 97, he was healthy and strong.
Yes, a couple months ago, a guy contacted me who had stage 4 cancer and healed. His doctors had given up on him. He had gone through the chemo. He said to me, 70 tumors in his bone marrow, everything. And he said to me, I cannot emphasize enough that when I was done reading your book, I see the world differently. As Dr. Sarna went along decade by decade, and it was a great career. I mean, you know, he started in 1950, I think. But he learned more.
Right.
You know, it's not just pain. It's not just muscle. It's tendons and nerves, and it's also the immune system and all these things. And a lot of the people he trained believe that it is. The cancers are in this group. And I talked to oncologists that were in severe pain that went to see Dr. Sarna. He helped them heal, and they tell me, of course, cancers are. You know, they said, we see it every day in our office. It's like TMS on steroids, right? These people have this perfectionistic personality, but it's much more of a warrior, much more problematic child, and all these things. And so, yeah, and then there's other ones that say, don't say that. It has nothing to do with that.
I remember some conversations I had with the brilliant scientist Candace Pert before she passed away, and I was very lucky to get the chance to talk to her. But she said we have to start recognizing as a society how much denial we're in about the role of environmental toxins and the hundreds of thousands of new chemicals in our products that we use and things we're exposed to. So I thought that was interesting too. So maybe, you know, healing involves being kind of aware of everything and trying some different approaches. And I love what you're writing. I love looking into how the mind creates symptoms through tension and emotion, repressed emotion, which reduces oxygen flow, and that by changing our mindset and becoming even aware of it, we can calm down this hyperactive fight or flight, realize we're okay. One thing in Sarno's books, I didn't see anything about environmental toxins, and I didn't see anything at all about heavy metal poisoning. I did not see anything about diet and what a big role that plays in pain and inflammation. In fact, recently, again, another person talked to me, and she told me that she was drinking a lot of sodas and in so much pain. And as soon as she stopped drinking the sodas, after a very short time, all of the pain went away.
Yeah, well, from Dr. Sarna's standpoint, you know, he wasn't an expert in that stuff. He was a chronic pain guy, so he didn't get into it. But, I mean, diet, oh, boy, how important is diet? All those things are definitely part of it. Part of it, you know, we're only talking about the side that we know about, the emotional side of it. Any anger that you feel has nothing to do with the pain. So let's say you feel 10% of the anger. Mm-hmm. That 10% has nothing to do with it. It's the rest of it that you do not feel. It's the unconscious side of it.
Eckhart Tolle said that the feeling will get you closer to the truth of who you are than thinking.
Right, and I talked about that at the end of that book, The Great Pain Deception, about Jung's work on thinking versus feeling. He said they're polar opposites. They're polar opposite functions. That nothing inhibits feeling like thinking, he said. And so these people, they move into their heads when they're sensitive or they're emotionally hurt. Mm-hmm. They become thinkers. Mm-hmm. Because thinking is their superior function. They don't have any control over their feelings and emotions, and they're frightened of them. So what they do is they become thinkers. And so Tolle's right. You need to move back into the feeling phase.
I think feelings can lie just as much as thoughts. I mean, feelings can change from one day to the next. And there's something that Joe Dispenza wrote as well. And he said, if we cannot think greater than how we feel, we can never change. To change is to think greater than how we feel. To change is to act greater than the familiar feelings of the memorized self. So I don't know. Maybe both things are true, you know, at different times. It's just hard to say. But one thing I know is that sometimes the brain is actually sending the body a false message. And it would be easy to look at every pain as a message and see every pain, what is this telling me? But sometimes it's a symptom of the dysfunction itself. And if you entertain it, that dysfunction, and like you talked about, giving into it, accommodating it, then you just strengthen it. And that requires definitely thinking bigger than the feeling of the pain.
Right, and that's exactly right. It's sending false messages. That's exactly right. And so the idea is to send it accurate information. Because, you know, everything starts with a thought in life, everything. Mm-hmm. You can't stand up. You can't do this. You have to think it. And it creates that neurotransmitter. And as you mentioned, Candace Pert, well, she was one of the leaders in this. field. And then that neuropeptide chain gets pumped through the pituitary down to the matching receptor cell, and it gives you the experience of joy or sadness or hate or fear or whatever. And so you have to get to the thinking process to send the accurate information. And that could be it, you know. We're looping all of these bad thoughts that are mirrored around us every day of bad news on the, you know, on the national news, and bad health problems and relationship things. We're sending the body sick messages. They've taken the amygdalas, and this is where it all starts, in the center of the brain, the deep amygdala part, and they've taken the amygdala parts out of reptiles, and they lose their sexual function. You know, the sex drive is, a lot of that's based on that. And so we need some anger to drive us. Of course, the amygdala is that part of the emotional center of the brain.
Yeah.
It assigns emotions to things. They look at something and it, should I fear that?
Yeah.
Am I going to get pleasure from that? You know?
Yeah.
And then it kicks it off, and the hypothalamus is the way station in the process. It determines how it's going to affect the autonomic nervous system, which is where TMS emanates from. So there's a chain reaction, but the deep primal part, we need to get to that to tell the brain, your body's okay. You're not damaging it. Even though there's pain there, you're not damaging it. So you can go run, and you can go lift weights, and you can go play tennis. But when I say infection, you deal with it the same way, in that you do the mental work, and you get your life in a better state, and you know, you heal your relationships and all those things. When it comes to physical activity, I don't think you could do that, because people say to me, you say that the most important thing to get rid of a TMS, you know, symptom is to become more physically active, but I have hemorrhoids. I say, okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a different ways to deal with those. The physical activity is mainly for the chronic pain. When it comes to irritable bowel, it used to be called colitis. Now it's irritable bowel. They change the names like every decade so they can market it better. You know, painful bladder, interstitial cystitis, fibromyalgia, and many, many years ago, I think it was called galloping rheumatism. We've always reacted to life the same. It's our relationships that are causing most of the health problems and how we react to life. Every time we think about it, a lot of people don't realize, just to say, for example, like a neck pain or something, that's OCDing. The back pain, it's OCD. There's usually some anxiety there. OCDing is repetitive behavior. The repetitive behavior, the brain does this, like it cleans the floor over and over, or it checks and rechecks locks and windows. It does that to alleviate anxiety. When the brain does something over and over and over, it helps the person ease their anxiety a little bit. So when you're looking at your back 500 times a day, in your knee, in your body, that's OCD. That's your floor cleaning. Instead of cleaning your floor or your kitchen sink 100 times, you're looking at your body over and over.
Yeah.
It's helping. The pain is helping you cope through the day from things that are outside of your awareness, which will probably always be the most difficult thing to understand, because people will say, well, I'm not anxious, I'm not angry, I don't have this and that. You're not aware of it. When people begin to heal from their pain, their energy levels will skyrocket. It's been likened to trying to hold a beach ball under the water. You spend all of this energy, physical energy, trying to hold this pent up energy in. These emotions, things that you want to express yourself about, things that are angering you, things that you don't even want to think about that have been repressed. We spend all of this energy trying to keep it repressed, and it fatigues us. And people go into chronic fatigue. And it is just another way of the brain bypassing those emotions. And I'll say this too, the people are healing from it. It's tricky. It can be tricky. You know, I'm talking, there's a large number of cases that heal.
Yeah.
From TMS healing, but there, I'm sure there can be dietary things. I'm sure there can be something else, you know. But, you know, that's where this, all the confusion and the controversy comes in, right? Dr. Sarno did say, you know, when he retired in 2012, after 5 decades in this business, he was able to come to some great conclusions, you know, because he saw so many, he probably saw more pain patients than anybody in the history of the world because of the time that he practiced. Not only did he practice 5 decades, which a lot of doctors don't even live to be 50, right? He was in medicine 50 years in New York, a big city, during an era of, you know, international transportation and the internet and all this. He may have seen more pain patients than anybody. He said, these people are suffering because of the self-imposed demands they place on themselves to be good people. And that's a very powerful statement, and that's everything that I'm seeing too. To be good people, like he said, is great for society. But there's a part of the self that doesn't want to have anything to do with that. And, you know, the world can throw its weight on your shoulders, but it doesn't mean anything unless you put that pressure on yourself to make sure you never fail, that you keep everybody around you happy. And these are very demanding things. And the body is paying a huge price for this. I can see it in pain every day, infections, stomach problems, dizziness. He saw it in many other things, too. And so, yes, we've got all these demands that we alone place on ourselves to be good people and to, you know, to never fail. So you never fail, so you never get rejected, right? That's the idea. So you're not alone again. It's going to come back to loneliness. You know, I'll say this. I don't know anyone that doesn't have TMS. You know, who doesn't have something, whether it's a stiff elbow or a skin problem or vision problem or something, right? I don't know. I've never met anybody. It's part of the human condition. There's nothing mentally wrong with these people. You know, these people with chronic pain think, wow, I'm whacked out mentally. No, not at all. You're too sane. You're coping too well. You need to kind of get loose a little bit and get wacky. You know, you gotta kind of loosen up. It's just trying to maintain control all the time and this perfection. It is overwhelming. You know, I tell people, get out and get wacky, but just don't make me come have to bail you out of jail. We suffer silently sometimes, but we need to get on top of that, and we need to start saying, all right, you know, I'm not expressing myself properly, or I'm not happy. The last line of my book is in 16-point bold font for a reason, happiness first. In my life, I knew I wasn't happy. It was that simple. Now, it can get more complex when you dig into why, but I just needed to get happier. You know, I mean, you can get into the psychological part for the rest of your life and just keep digging into it. And what does it do for you? Forget about all that. Forget about everything, doing everything perfect and trying to find the holy grail of the problem and all that. Just go become a happier person. And my conflict faded. I am so happy to be pain-free, and I've seen thousands upon thousands of people heal themselves. You know, I'm not a healer. I'm not doing it. I'm just teaching them that they can heal themselves and that it is a good life. It is a very good life to be able to help people. And I can see myself in all these people. It's amazing. Same thoughts and fears and all this. We are in this together. You know, we are in this together. And I think the most rewarding way, the life that you can have, is to help other people. And so I thank you for the opportunity to say this and let other people hear this. You know, if statistics hold true here, 80% of the people won't believe what I said here, which is, you know, kind of what he saw. And 20% will say, yep, that's it, and they'll go heal. They're going to heal. And the majority would not believe it. They'd say, I can't believe that dead arthritis is not causing my pain. A covert operation is only a covert operation if you don't know it's covert. If you suddenly discover your brain's been fooling you, then you've blown the lid off of it. And so it's there to protect you. So if you have, let's say, a pain to protect you from something that is overwhelming you or you just can't handle or whatever, why would you want that to go away? It's shielding you from emotional pain. So, of course, you're going to reject it immediately. That's what I did. I absolutely had TMS, and I rejected it outright. Dr. Gwatz, who's one of the best in the world that trained under Dr. Sarno, he's in New Jersey. It's a weird name, G-W-O-Z-D-Z, Gwatz. He said, you know, I can see a lot of people make appointments with me just to talk to me. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about, somatization, you know, the expressing itself through the body. They don't have anyone to go to. Mm-hmm. And they feel that the doctor's going to understand them. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons they contact me, is, hey, I was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not just making this up. I lived a life of hellish pain, and so severe, I thought I was going to die from it at one point. And so when they contact me, they know, when they talk to me, I get it. And he did too. Dr. Gwatz is a folk hero. He was an engineer in so much pain that he went to see Dr. Sarno, and he helped him to heal. He dropped out of engineering and went to medical school. On his 40th birthday, he entered medical school. That is so cool. What a cool story, you know, 40 years old. And now he did it. Yay. And he did it, you know, not for the money, to help people.
Do you think that knee replacement surgeries, you know, they're very, very common today. Do you think they are needed as often as they're being done?
Most of the time, no. You know, anybody goes in with knee pain, oh, I see it's got a little thingy here. If the joint wears out, it will need replaced. It's that simple. But just because there's pain there does not mean that it needs replaced. And I'm talking thousands of people.
We hear that phrase, bone on bone, and the doctor will say that's what's happening. So what's your experience? Is that phrase correct?
That phrase has caused more problems than anything I've ever seen. A lot of these doctors, I'm not going to speak for them. I can't speak for them, but the ones I've spoken to, they don't even believe that exists, bone on bone. It's something that they're making up. It looks like just the body has ways of repairing things. My right ankle has been rolled a dozen times in my life playing sports, and it is a mass of arthritis. When you look at it, there's no ball joint or anything left. Everything looks like it's bone on bone, but that pain left.
You know, all these things that we're talking about today, let me just share one more thing that Candace Pert said, because I loved her work and her research so much. But, you know, she said that when someone says something like, I have bad knees, I have bad hips, there's this whole belief around a diagnosis, right? And that affects everything that we do. So take, for example, someone saying, I have high blood pressure. Yes, they have high blood pressure. But, you know, she said if you build your life around taking this medicine every day, you've codified something in your body. So, you know, she said there's actually studies showing that exercise, diet, and daily meditation can dramatically bring down blood pressure without any pharmaceutical intervention.
Yes, and if we build our life around these things, like, you know, my doctor told me I have a bad disc. Well, I built my life around that for 30 years, and I crippled myself. And when he comes along and says, it's fine, that's not causing the pain, the first reaction is to get mad at him, you know, and reject it. But ultimately, I did exactly what you said. And everybody's doing it. You've got thyroid disease. You've got this. You've got that. And I've got a disease and I can't heal. That's exactly what the brain's hoping for. Now I'm going to obsess on my health and away from what's really bothering me. And I think it's happiness to me. You know, if you're afraid all the time, you can't be happy, right? Another great point, which we didn't touch on, is purpose in life. I switched from obsessing my body to obsessing on helping people. And so that's when you really become happy, is when you find that purpose. I will tell you this. Not everything can be reconciled in life.
Right.
I can take one thing at the end of my book and one thing at the beginning, and I can say, look, people say, look, you said this and this. Well, some of it's a different context, and some of it just you can't reconcile it. Like, you know, going out and ignoring the pain. Ignoring the pain means, you know, doing whatever you want to do physically. Mm-hmm. Don't let it stop you. But you don't ignore it. You still need to listen to why you have it. Mm-hmm. So when you say, well, you say to ignore it, then you say to listen to it. Right. Which one is it? Well, it's different things I'm talking about. When you meditate, you need to meditate towards the pain and not away from it. You need to get in there and say, all right, why am I so angry? What is my body telling me? Here, listen to it. I got invited to Fort Lauderdale this past spring to speak in front of 16,000 people. And I looked at the guest list, and I was going to stand up there and advocate against everything they were talking about. All I heard was the sound of crickets. I got disinvited.
Right.
And so I am a man with no country, the filmmaker says. He said, I want to stand beside you because no one's with Dr. Sarno. You know, as far as I know, the only doctors that believe this and are practicing it are the ones that were in serious pain themselves and went to him and were healed.
I know, for those of you listening, I know how tricky this can be, and I think it is multifaceted. I think there can be other things involved, too, and we can get into that on another show another day. But, you know, sometimes I feel like for me there's all this awareness, and then sometimes it's just forget it all, put it all away, go have fun. And coming to peace with everything that's unresolved within me.
I just say, what am I going to do? I can't change my childhood, and my wife's so paralyzed, and I'm still a perfectionist. Why don't I just forget about all this psycho stuff and go have fun?
Go have fun.
Yeah, and it worked in me. Yeah. You know, I'm more expressive. I used to be much more quieter than this. I know it's hard to believe. And so I needed to recognize there was anger there that I never knew existed in me. This is what I'm seeing. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is what I'm seeing. The people were healing virtually every time. But there's a caveat with that, a huge caveat, of course. They have to accept the fact that their body's okay. If you think something's wrong, like Candace Pert saying, you're going to keep in this loop.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and thank you all for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me at joedavidson@mac.com, and that's joedavidson@mac.com. And you can get a copy of The Great Pain Deception by Stephen Ray Osnich. It's available on Amazon, your local bookstore, or go to www.paindeception.com. You've been listening to Zentertainment Talk Radio on the web at zentertainment.org, and I will catch you next time.